Julie and I were walking in the park the other day, walking our dog, Trooper. And we like to get out with Trooper. I think he walks us more than we walk him. And it's a joy to be able to spend time with God's creation, but most importantly with my wife as we walk and talk. It's wonderful to get out of the house. You know, when you're around the house, you just, there's all these distractions. You're thinking about, oh man, what do I got to clean? What do I do? What do I got to fix? And, you know, there's, you know, answering emails and things. But it's nice to just get out and just walk and talk. And so we did that one afternoon and walked throughout the neighborhood and noticed that when we were walking down the sidewalk off to the distance by the mailbox, there was a middle-aged woman with her dog, and she was knelt down with the dog right next to her by the mailbox, and I noticed this dog didn't look too friendly, one of those square-looking faced dogs that you really don't want to go up to. And so I just, you know, quickly walked around him, and then out of the corner of my eye, he comes running free from his leash towards us and jumps right onto Trooper, our dog. And a full-fledged dog fight began to start. You know, just keep going on and on and on and on and on. One was winning, and the other was winning, the other was winning, and I had him on Jupiter on the leash, and I was pulling him this way, but unfortunately, the other dog was not on a leash, so I'm pulling the fight into me at that point. And he almost tripped me, I almost fell into the fight itself, but I'm glad I didn't, because I don't have the arms of Samson, and I would no way be able to separate those two dogs. And right when it looked like it was getting really dangerous, the owner comes out of nowhere, comes behind her dog, and pulls him by the back legs and separates the two dogs. And then there's a silence. Just like this. And I'm looking to see if all the parts of our dog were still there. I looked over at the other dog, and he's sitting there very content with all his hair coming out of his mouth like this, and just kind of smiling at me. I looked at our dog, and he had some blood on the right side of his leg, but the blood wasn't his. It was the other dog's. Hopefully that dog learned his lesson. But sometimes we don't learn our lesson. And life can be that way, where we can sort of, by surprise, just get overwhelmed with something. And that overwhelmingness of something may be our emotions. Emotions can be like that. They sort of come out of nowhere, and they're just like they're on us, and then we just don't know what to do. Well, do they come out of nowhere, or do they come out of somewhere? Well, they do come out of somewhere. But how can we keep those emotions under control so they don't destroy us or destroy the people that we love? Well, let's ask God one more time for his help. Father, we thank you that this morning we can be here in a quiet place in this land of freedom. And would you speak to us some truth that will set us free? In Jesus' name, amen. We've been looking at different aspects of love. And in your bulletin, you have an outline of what we talked about last week. And you can see that we talked about love. We talked about different aspects of love in the Old and the New Testament. And we saw that in the summary there on page one. And then we looked at biblical truths about love. Love originates in God because he is love. The reason we can love is because he is love. If he was not love, we couldn't love, because we're made in his image. Amen? So we talked about that. And then we talked about number two, the spiritual life can be boiled down to one word, love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then we looked at seven areas of those. So I'm not going to go over that. It's just a review. I'm going to look at three this morning. Love is more an action than an emotion. And then next week, we're going to finish up with communion. God's love is sacrificial and unconditional. So I hope to encourage you to continue to look through this and look through the backside and continue to do your homework. I know you will be blessed. So let's delve into that right now. Love is more than just an emotion. We know that love is volitional. And in other words, it is more of a verb than it is a noun. If you look at 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, love believes all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things. Love never fails. It's doing. It's just literally doing. Love can include feelings. Love can include emotions, absolutely. But part and parcel, love is a, starts with a C, has an H in it, ends with an E. Love is a choice. Love is a choice. Love is a choice. It's a choice to do and to be what God wants us to do and to be. So when we say here that love is more of an action than an emotion, doesn't mean it doesn't include emotion. It just means it's more of an action than an emotion. And you can see here in 1 John 3:18, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." So we know that by doing acts of kindness and acts of physical help, we can see love in action. Mr. Jonas did a wonderful teaching last night on the five languages of love, the whole aspect of affirmation and time and gifts and service and those aspects of love, because that does include all of that. There's different ways of expressing love. Well, sometimes our ways of expressing love sort of overwhelm us. In fact, there are sometimes emotions come from evil desires, and sometimes emotions don't come from the truth. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about when emotions sort of come from a life that doesn't have self-control. It's out of control. In fact, a life that doesn't have self-discipline. Especially in the area of special relationships. So I'm going to talk a little bit about dating this morning, a little bit about special relationships. But this can apply to anybody at any age, whether you're married or not. And we can always give good advice to our children and grandchildren in this area. So I'd like to look at 6 lessons to help us control our emotions in the life of what I like to call special relationships, rather than dating. Dating seems a little bit more, capricious, and, it has a little negative connotation to it, although there's nothing wrong with the word. But let's use the word special relationships, because it is special, right? So what are those 6 lessons that we can learn as we talk about when emotions control us instead of us controlling our emotions? Well, one particular example of the wrong way of doing this is in the life of Samson. And you know the story of Samson. If there ever was evidence of the missing link, he would be qualified to maybe support that theory, although I don't believe it, okay? He just couldn't control a lot of his emotions. What, 12th judge of Israel, a man who God used, no doubtedly, but had problems in this area. You see, don't take shortcuts, okay, when it comes to building character. So the first principle is this: self-discipline is the key to relational success. Self-discipline is the key. Well, I would say it's an important key. It may not be the only key. Obviously, Christ is the key. His power is the key. But certainly self-discipline is up there. It's a spirit-controlled life. So this is seen consistently as a pattern of Samson's life, where he made small compromises in the dark ways. He practiced the life of engaging in drunkenness and indulging fleshly pleasures, putting his confidence in his own strength, and slowly disposing of the need of God's ability. Samson teaches us that we should not leap into relationships before maturing in this area first. Otherwise, we are building a relationship on an unreliable foundation. So let me ask you a question. Are you there pursuing a relationship or in a relationship or thinking about it? Are you mature enough to enter into that special relationship? If there's certain areas in your life where you don't have under control, well, then when you get into another relationship, it's going to manifest itself. And in fact, you're going to go into other areas where you can't control yourself. So no one's perfect. We can't wait until we are to develop a relationship. Of course not. But there needs to be a certain level, a litmus test, so to speak, of when you're ready to enter into a certain relationship. That's number one. Self-discipline is the key to a relationship. Number two, lust is not love. And this is something that our society confuses all the time, right? The bigger, the better, the stronger, the better looking, get what you want so you can fulfill your happiness and your peace and get you to the next level of your satisfaction in life. It's all about you, and it's not about the other person. Well, Samson loved with his eyes. He lusted after Delilah, and he stepped out of God's will for his life. Before meeting her, he desired to take a Philistine woman for his wife, which was unacceptable practice for Israelites. You were not allowed to marry foreign women, and he knew that. He was a Nazarite. Okay, he took the vow. He understood it. His parents warned him time and time again, Samson, don't do it. You got to stay within these boundaries. Samson, you're allowed to choose whoever you want within the boundary of our faith. It's your choice. I could just hear his parents telling him this, okay? It's your choice. You got to choose the person you want to marry. But just don't choose these over here. And parents, you need to do the same thing, okay? When deciding whether or not your children, who they should marry, continue in dialogue. Students, if I can tell you this, I can save you a lot of pain. I can save you a lot of pain and a lot of effort, a lot of trouble. Talk to your parents about the choices that you're making, okay? Parents and kids need to decide together who's going to be the life partner. Don't do it alone, okay? Because God's wisdom works through parents. The father wants to father through the father and the mother. So decide together. And say, hey, there are some choices, there are some parameters. It's for you to choose whoever you want, but make sure you stay within these boundaries. Person's got to know the Lord, you know, those kinds of things. Just some basic stuff. You know, person doesn't struggle with anger, certain isn't controlling. You know, there are certain, you know, personalities that you got to stay away from. Your parents can help you with that. Now, obviously, you're mature as well, students, and you've got your own wisdom, and God is speaking to you, absolutely. But decide together with your mom and dad. It makes a huge difference, no matter how old you are. My mother is still telling me how to be a good husband. She's 80, 90 years old. This relationship that Samson had with the improper choices that he made ended in rapid divorce. Lustful desire always warps our vision to really discern the God's will for our life. And so we notice in the area with Delilah, for 5,500 pieces of silver, she betrayed Samson. So a question for you. The first question is, are you mature enough to enter into a relationship? The second question is, what are you doing to starve this little lust monster in your life, this old foreign, fallen nature, this strong desire, okay, to do something forbidden. Whatever you feed grows. Would you agree with that? Whatever you feed grows. Your mind is like a garden. It's very, very fertile. And whatever you put in, it grows. And you know, weeds always grow faster than vegetables and flowers. Why is that? Why do weeds always grow quicker? You don't have to do anything to a garden and boom, you know, there they are. Well, maybe it's because of our fallen nature, those negative things grow faster than the positive things. So you gotta be careful. You say, well, what's wrong occasionally with entertaining some not so godly things? Is that anything bad? Well, yeah, it is. Let me give you an example. It's known that when Eskimos wanna catch a wolf, in the tundra cold of the Arctic and Alaska or whatever, they take a knife, a very sharp knife, and they place it like this in the snow, and they freeze animal blood on the top of the knife, and they put it in the snow, and the wolves, with their keen sense of smell, will find the knife, and started licking the knife, obviously because of the animal blood there. Well, as they continue, it's just a true thing, as they continue to lick the knife, it begins to cut their tongue. And then their tongue, their blood, mixes with the frozen animal blood. And after a while, they can't tell the difference between their blood and the blood of the dead animal on that knife. And in the morning, the Eskimos find the wolf dead. He bled to death. You see, this is what lust does. Forbidden desire will do this to you. At first, it's okay. But Satan is an angel of light, and he knows how to cut into you, and he knows how to hurt you. God wants the best for you. He really does. He loves you. He wants the best for you. Trust him. So number one, self-discipline is the key to relationship success. Lust is not love. And number three, listen to wise counsel. Listen to wise counsel. Counsel will really help you in the area of controlling this. I read just yesterday a fortune cookie message, and it says this: if a man spends too much time with his fortune, someone else might steal his cookie. You know, we get these bits of wisdom everywhere, and we think, yeah, that's pretty cool. There's a lot of truth to that. If you make things your primary goal in life, you will lose the most important thing in your life that are closest to you. Well, if we can get a little wisdom from stuff like that, why are we getting more wisdom from the Bible? Why aren't we getting more wisdom from other people? We should, right? You see, God knows best what is good for us, and therefore will always send wise counsel to those who love us in order to bring wisdom. Often when we're in relationships that's not healthy or about to begin one, that's going to lead us down the wrong path, God will give divine insight to parents, friends, and sometimes even total strangers to deliver those warnings. Samson's parents warned him, as I mentioned, against pursuing both the Philistine woman and Delilah. But each time, he defiled them. If we reject wisdom, then God has no other choice than to let us endure the consequences of the choices made. He says, okay, if you want to do it, do it. You have life and you have death before you. I hope you choose life. I really do. But if you don't, this is the results. And he leaves us to make that choice. So may we choose correctly. It's been said that you can't choose your parents, but you can choose your spouse. That's not to say your parents aren't the people that God wants for you. You know, the point being made, there are times in life where you don't have a choice, but there are times you do. Make the choice wisely and seek other counsel. Wisdom will always knock at the door, but we must answer it in order to benefit. So, a third question. First question, are you mature enough to enter into a special relationship? Second one, what are you doing to starve that little monster of lust in your heart? L-U-S-T. Living under Satan's tyranny. That's right. Living under Satan's tyranny. There's the father of truth, and there's the father of lies. Who's your father? Who's my father? Who's your father? Yeah, you're a believer. God's your father. But when you live a lie, you move from the camp of the security of the Father into the desert of the father of lies. Stay in the camp. Stay in the oasis of God's love. Don't go to the other environment where you're just going to just be dry and high and dry. So starve that. And the third question is this. Do you listen to advice easily? Are you quick to listen to advice, or are you slow? Now, you got to choose who you listen to, absolutely. Number four. Believe when people show you their true colors. This is very important. You'll be in a relationship for a while, okay? And after a while, you'll see something that's not quite right. But they say love is blind, you know, and so you sort of overlook that. Even if you've been married a long time, there's certain things that are happening in your marriage where you just sort of, okay, I'm just going to kind of get through it. Now, love does cover a multitude of sins. It does. And there's certain things you just pray about and you don't want to confront. But every once in a while, the Holy Spirit pulls on your heart and says, you got to talk about this one. Don't let this one go. Julie's had to do it with me. I've had to do it with her. And I'm sure you have experienced this before. So believe when people show you their true colors. Don't just pretend it's not there. Samson is an example of someone who had a poor judge of character. This could be because his own integrity was watered down. But this weakness caused him not to discern the deception of the woman in his life. When Delilah asks him to share the secret of his strength with her, this should have caused him to ask the question, what motive is prompting her to ask this? Why does she continue to ask me, what's my secret? And then he sort of lies to her and finds out that his strength does not go away. And then she continues to tempt him or continues to test him, you know, by his false answers. Why didn't he just pick up on the fact that she was trying to know this? You know, why didn't he question that? I don't think you ever wonder about that. I mean, it's just poor judgment. So secondly, once he saw that she was using the information against him, he should have never trusted her with the truth again. I mean, once, but a second time, a third time, why would he continue to trust her when she was out to get him? You know, he wasn't thinking straight. Getting to know someone in a relationship is a great time to ask questions, to investigate motives, and seek the Holy Spirit's wisdom before allowing someone to access your heart. If Samson would have exercised this type of caution, he might have been able to see through Delilah's schemes. And you know the story. So, a fourth question. Okay? Are you ready? A fourth question. Do you have keen discernment? Do you have good judgment? Do you seek others? Do you ask what they think? Before Julie and I got married, she asked a lot of people about me. I asked a lot of people about her. I asked her friends, got some counsel. You gotta bring other people into the thought life. Researchers, businessmen, educators, teachers. There isn't a profession out there. Well, you would not do your research before making the decision. You buy a car, good grief, right? You buy the first car you look at? No, of course not. You buy the first sweater you look at when you go to the mall, or you know, the first skirt or the shoe or whatever? No, not normally. You look around, you think about it, you think, yeah, I'm sure. You know, if material things are that way, if business is that way, if education is that way, if science is that way, well, how much more is relationship need to be that way? Which is much more important than any of those things, right? Who's going to be your master? What's going to be your manger? And who's going to be your mate? Right? Three most important questions for college students that I remember years ago thinking about. Your master, your major, and your mate. These are very important questions in life. Let's spend the time to do them. If love is blind, then get a guide, or you might walk into something and hurt yourself. If you walk into a hole on the way to school, well, then find a new way to go to school. Don't keep falling into the same hole all the time. Make some adjustments into your life. Fifth principle, looks can be deceiving. Looks can be deceiving. Have you ever bought anything where after you buy it, maybe secondhand or whatever, you realize, oh, man, this thing is not exactly what I intended it to be? It's hard sometimes to make that decision. Well, the Bible says that it was Delilah's beauty that enthralled Samson. Physical attributes are minor factors to base a relationship on. Now, I'm not saying physical factors aren't important. They are. And listen, everybody is beautiful to someone. And I'm not just saying that to make you feel good. Everybody is beautiful to someone. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Everybody has different likings, okay? And you're beautiful no matter how God you made you, how God made you. But it is not the major factor to base a relationship on. In the beginning, a person looks may draw your attraction, but it is in their heart that should be tested and weighed before committing long term. Samson had made a practice of compromising his morals and principles, so by the time Delilah walked into his life, there were no guardrails to protect his heart. Her good looks were enough to give her access into the deepest part of him. Her good looks were enough to give access into the deepest part of him, just because she looked nice, not because there was this trusted relationship. It was all based on just an empirical feeling. Sometimes what starts off as something beautiful turns into something really ugly if we develop relationships that are only valuable on the surface. 1 Peter chapter 3 talks about this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And this is a great one. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And it's one that is talking about wives and husbands, but you can apply this to any relationship. It says this: wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and the reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair or wearing gold jewelry or fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self. I love this. It's so sweet. It's so warm. It should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is of great worth in the sight of God. For this is the way the holy woman — are you a holy woman? Are you a holy man? Are you separated from the standards of worldly beauty of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful? Women of old, holy women of old, holy men of old would make themselves beautiful, would make themselves handsome by this truth. For guys, this sense of toughness, but of tenderness. For ladies, a sense of gentleness and quietness and truth. People of integrity. They were submissive to their husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called her master in her own way. You are daughters, and if you do what is right, and do not give way to fear. So it's the inner beauty. That's what's most important, right? The kindness is most important. Now, it says here that women should be gentle and quiet. But that doesn't mean that they need to be silent. There are different degrees of vocality among people. There's different degrees of gentleness, if I might say, among people. You may be more extroverted. You may be a little bit more outspoken. Maybe a little less outspoken. But a person that is quiet and gentle it's like a bubbling brook, right? It's so beautiful. It's so clean. You know, I love rivers. You go down, you know, Loch Raven. You go down these rivers, and you just see these water. Water that's stagnant is so awful, but water that is moving is so clean, and it makes noise. I could just sit there all day long and just read a book or whatever. Julie and I often pray by a stream, and you just hear the water, and it's just so wonderful. It's a quiet. It's a gentle sound. It's the way God wants us to be. Not just this huge waterfall or this tsunami of emotion, right? It'll be like a tsunami. It'll be like a bubbling brook. You might make a little bit more noise than someone else, but that's okay. There are different levels of bubbling brook. Just be careful of the, you know, number 10 rapids or whatever. You know, the analogy is so wonderful. I think it's beautiful right here. So looks can be deceiving. So a fifth question. Are you controlled by what only looks good on the outside? Don't date someone you don't know. Oh, I can't tell you guys how many times I've been in counseling situations, and the number one fault was they started the relationship too early. They didn't know the person. They just didn't know. The reason they decided to start this relationship with this person is because they put their two fingers on their pulse. And when it got to a certain amount of beats, they realized, man, that was it. You know, I'm exaggerating, of course, but you see, it was just this, wow, this chemistry. You don't date someone you don't know. Why? Because when the train is down the track, it's hard to jump off. When the engine and the train starts picking up speed, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, and it does pick up speed quite quickly, it's hard to jump off a moving train. Be careful. Start slow. You have to observe that person in many different situations over a long period of time. Many situations with lots of advice over a long period of time. How long is that time? It depends. It's definitely not a few weeks or a few months. Preferably more than a year or longer. If you don't, it's your choice, friends. It's your friend. Now, you may know, let me just make a caveat here. You may know that that person is God's gift to you. I mean, it's like they were just beamed down from heaven, right there waiting for you. You've made your decisions. You want this person like this. You want a person like this. You want a person like this. You want a person like this. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, you feel like you could be really compatible in many areas, vocationally. I mean, this is the person. Well, if they really are the person, let that other person tell you they are the person. Let God tell you they are the person, you know? Circumstances aren't very good when it's discerning the will of God. Satan can bring all kinds of circumstances into your life. They can confirm the will of God, but don't let circumstances make your major decision. This is often a big mistake by a lot of people. And many different kinds of making decisions. Oh, this must be God. Oh, this is just too good to be true. A lot of adulterous situations start out that way. Oh, this is too good to be true. Well, if it's too good to be true, then it's not true. Why? Because it's not as good as you think it is. It may start out that way, but it'll end in disaster. For the wages of sin is death. So you might know that that person is your person, but give it some time. Let God confirm it. So you can make a prudent decision and not an impulsive one. Are you controlled by what only looks good on the outside? David was chosen as one of the most important kings of Israel. He's the only one coming back with Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords someday. Did you know that? You can read it in Revelation. A man after God's own heart. Oh, he made tons of mistakes, but he always went to God, being open, honest, and transparent. But he was considered someone who was chosen because God looked on the inside and not the outside. Man wanted a Saul. David's brothers were a lot better looking than, a lot bigger and stronger. But God said, no, no. You got another one? Yeah, so he's out in the field. Oh, but bring him here. God looks on the inside. Man looks on the outside. So are you controlled by only what looks good on the outside, or do you go for what's more than that? And then finally, the last question as we end our message this morning in this area of control in special relationships. 6, God never fails to reveal red flags. God loves you. He doesn't want you to go down the waterfall that you don't see coming. When you're paddling the canoe down the river, you don't know there's a waterfall at the end. He does. He knows the future. And even if you find that perfect person, I know a lot of dating relationships, a lot of special relationships, they were to be the most likely to succeed, and they failed miserably. There's no guarantee. The only guarantee is you do the right thing in the right way for the right motive, and you trust God. And one of that ways is that you have to pay attention to those red flags. God can see the future. So ask God what's going to be the best for you, because he can see the future in the future. So God never fails to reveal red flags. There will always be red flags and warnings in the beginning that we could either heed or pass. Samson's warnings came over time throughout his life, and for every sign he ignored it. Sin gained more and more mastery over it. God cares about our relationships. So we should ask, here we go, listen up. We should ask the Holy Spirit to reveal information about those people before we decide to join them in any way. Whether it's on the internet, whatever. Don't get on the internet. Don't start relationships with people you don't know on that internet. They will destroy you. Because sometimes what's online becomes offline very quickly. It's like that knife in the snow. Don't lick it. Be sober-minded and watchful is a good habit to practice because the enemy will always send us Delilahs in our life when you least expect it. Delilahs can be both men and women. Delilahs can be wrong job opportunities, poor choices, anything that distracts you from God's good and perfect will for your life. Through God accomplished victory, through his life and end, bad relationship choices cost Samson his eyesight, his relationship with others, and caused an extended detour from his walk with God. God forgave Samson, we believe, in his final judgment when he brought down the house in judgment. God did use Samson in the end, but he still lost his eyesight. Let's pray. Father in heaven, what a joy it is to study your word and to learn some basic truths on relationships so that we can be mature. Not just loving you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, not just loving our neighbor as friends, but also loving those special people that you bring into our lives. Oh God, I pray. Those that have heard your truth, not mine, this morning, will be people of wisdom, people of discernment, people of humility to make the right decisions for you. Friends, just take a minute before the worship team begins and examine your heart this morning. You feel you are in that position right now, in the relationship that you are in, or you need to back off just a little bit. Maybe you're not in a relationship. Maybe you want to be in a relationship. Well, ask the Lord to send someone, man or woman who is after God's own heart, person of integrity, person of self-control. Maybe you know someone that's in an abusive relationship. Someone has just gone through divorce. Pray for them right now. Can we do that? 30 seconds. Thank you, Lord. Help us to love you by obeying your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.